Good morning, Tappers. What's happening? Charlie here with you for another edition of the Daily Tap. It is tax day, April 17th. Yes, get your taxes in. It is a Tuesday. It is also game two of Bucks Celtics. We are going to get you ready. Everything you need to know for game two. That's happening. We'll also talk about the Brewers' home woes and look back at a fun second night, or I guess third night, of the NBA playoffs. We'll talk about that. Before we do all of that, you can find us, StoneTapWI, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, StoneTapWI. It is a website. Make sure you're visiting. Like I said, I want to see some screenshots. Send me some screenshots of you guys reading. I would love that. Maybe can hook you up with some SnowTap swag. Ugh, hate that word, but it fit for that conversation. All right. You also know you can find us, subscribe on iTunes, subscribe on Google Play, Stitcher. Shout out to Tommy for listening. He texted me about Sport Club, wanted to know. So, hey, Sport Club, I'll get that plug right now. I hyped you guys up. I would love to talk about a sponsorship, but thanks to Tom for listening to us on a regular basis. Much appreciated. As always, so let's go into the Bucks game two against the Celtics tonight. I think a lot of Bucks fans are probably on pins and needles heading into this one. Had the Bucks won on Sunday afternoon, I think people would say it's about house money game. We talk all the time on this podcast about house money situations, whether it be for the Bucks, the Brewers, Packers, whatever, and that the game, while it would be nice to win, it doesn't really matter. Unfortunately for the Bucks, this game does matter. I have said I think this game, the series will be 2-2 at the end of Sunday, no matter how today shapes out. I do fully believe that. I would be shocked if the Bucks are down 3-1 or the Bucks get swept. I really would. I don't think the Bucks are too talented, I think, to get swept or even to lose in five. So I do think the Bucks should win this game. I do think the Bucks have an opportunity. I would not be surprised the Bucks would blow this team out today. I know that I think the general thought right now is that no one has any idea what to think about this game because Sunday was kind of a heartbreaker, right? It was a game that I think the Bucks could have stole. I don't think the Bucks deserved to win that game, but I do think that the Bucks are the less fatigued team heading into this one. It's only a 48-hour turnaround. It's not necessarily a three-day or two-day layoff. It is a one-day layoff, and now you're going back to work. Four guys for the Celtics played over 40 minutes. That is a lot. That's very taxing, especially it is a young team, so maybe they don't know better, and they're going to be able to go back out and be the same team. But I think it's really important for the Bucks to jump out to an early lead. Whether they hold that lead for the whole game, it's tough. Boston, one of the things that Boston's kind of been known for this year is they've known for coming back. They've had some really big comebacks this season. So even if the Bucks do jump out to a 15 or 20 point lead early on, hold on to your butts. Do not assume anything. And the Bucks also cannot play conservative. They need to hold on the throat and just end the Celtics early on and head back to Milwaukee with a 1-1 lead. I don't know how realistic a blowout is to expect, but I'm just saying it's not out of the realm of possibilities considering how fatigued the Celtics may be heading into this game. I do think there is a Giannis's angry sort of angle with, I don't think he liked how the overtime period ended. There is the Jason Tatum kick, which will be interesting to see if TNT highlights that Tatum did in fact kick Giannis. One thing to note that's interesting is Vegas only has Boston as a 2.5 point favorite heading into this game. So that's quite intriguing. The over-under only at 197, and Celtics are favored by the least amount of points in terms of the three playoff home teams in today's NBA action. So that is even more reason to probably like the Bucks in this game. I do think that you're going to see Brad Stevens will adjust on Chris Middleton. I think that's a big question. Can Chris Middleton have a similar game? I mean, he stepped up in a major way. Is this going to be an Eric Bledsoe day? I think Eric Bledsoe kind of getting into a groove early on is very important. We'll see what happens with Jabari Parker. I know there is a lot of things swirling around Bucks Twitter. They kind of want to make him the pariah given his struggles on defense. I do think Jabari Parker will get a chance to redeem himself. Be very interested to see what happens there and to see what John Henson's minutes look like. So John Henson did play 37 minutes, but down the stretch, John Henson was a complete ghost. The Bucks basically benched Henson, went to a smaller lineup. We'll see if the same thing happens. We'll see if Brogdon's rolled out as a starter, if Matthew Dellavedova gets some time. I think those are all interesting angles. I mean, Brogdon seems ready to play 35 minutes in this game. Brogdon's a bad matchup for the Celtics because I think he's just a frustrating guy on offense. I think he can play good enough defense against Tatum to kind of slow Tatum off the dribble, and I think that is what they definitely need, because if you can shut down Jason Tatum and make a guy like Jaylen Brown, Terry Rozier beat this team with Al Horford going off. I mean, Al Horford's going to get buckets against the Bucks. Unfortunately, even if John Henson's playing, I don't think Al Horford can be stopped by Henson, because Horford can do so many things outside of the post, and Henson just is too lazy outside to really play that. And also, I think he's slow. I just don't think he has the ability to play outside with a guy like Horford. So if you could stop Tatum, that would be huge. I do think Brogdon goes into the starting role. I'd be kind of surprised if we do not see Malcolm Brogdon as a starter. It would be shocking if they decided to go with Giannis at the five and decided to bench John Henson. Very interested to see what Joe Prunty rolls out. Definitely a lot of, I would say, pressure on Prunty to at least change things up a little bit. We'll see if Matthew Dellavedova gets some run. I think he deserves some run. My thought was on Sunday, I thought, well, maybe they knew that they had two games back to back almost. They didn't want to push Delly. Delly is just coming back from injury. Why don't we give him Tuesday? Well, he'll be ready to play on Friday, and then we'll see about next Sunday with that having that same sort of turnaround. So I think Dellavedova deserves to be out there. I'd be surprised if Dellavedova doesn't get a few minutes in this game. I know that there have been some chatter about Shabazz Muhammad. I don't kind of understand where it's coming from. I know Shabazz is instant offense. I think the only time where Shabazz Muhammad makes sense is if the team's really struggling to get going offensively and you just need a lightning in a bottle. But that seems like a guy that Brad Stevens would be like, oh, you're putting Shabazz Muhammad in. I'm just going to take it right to the rim on him every time and get a ton of buckets. And I do think also you got to start Marcus Morris. And Marcus Morris is another guy like Horford who's a bad matchup for the Bucks. The stretch four that the Bucks really only have Giannis. And if Jabari actually played a lick of defense, he'd be a great matchup for Morris, but he isn't. So there is a problem there. So like I said, I like the Bucks. I would not be surprised if this game finishes Milwaukee 102, Boston 92. I could really see that as a result for Milwaukee. I know that might be a little crazy, but I think the Bucks are going to win this game. I think they win it handily. I know the whole never trust the Bucks. I get that, but this just feels like a game where Milwaukee will take advantage of the fact that Boston's a little tired, a little weathered, and we'll get ready for a fully fresh Game 3 and see what happens there. And I just expect the Bucks to hold serve, and it should be a fun game. So we'll talk about it tomorrow on the Daily Tap, and then Mitch and I will get you ready for Game 3 as well as look back at the first two games on Tabbing the Keg on Wednesday night. We'll tape that for Thursday, so you'll have that in your feeds on Thursday if you're curious when 281 is dropping. All right. Moving on to the Milwaukee Brewers. So the Brewers did not have a good Monday. They came back, like we kind of joked about, hey, you got a roof, they can play. I almost wish they didn't play last night. The Brewers got shellacked. It was 10-4. They were down 9-0 after the sixth inning. Oliver Drake, that son of a bitch. I wrote about him, so that WI has a website. On Saturday, after he strikes out the side in a tight game on Friday night, I'm like, he has a 1.13 ERA. I'm like, maybe I was wrong about Oliver Drake. I was not wrong about Oliver Drake. The guy stinks. I knew it. I knew he stinks. I can't believe that they intentionally walked the pitcher, or intentionally walked the eighth hitter, Phil Gosselin. Or Paul Gosselin, who is very good against left-handers, so you could argue maybe he's good against Oliver Drake, considering what Drake is, this weird reverse splits guy. So they get Castillo up. I think they tried to force Brian Price's hand to see if they would pinch hit for Castillo, and Castillo comes through with a two-run single, and then the floodgates really open for the Brewers, or for the Reds, and they get three more runs in that inning, and just everything goes to shit. And if you're able to hold your water against Castillo or force a double play as Drake apparently is a ground baller, it's a 5-0 game. Brewers came back that seventh inning to get four runs. All of a sudden, it's 5-4, and who knows what happens with a very shaky Reds bullpen. And yet the Brewers just couldn't get it done. And that's pretty frustrating. It's pretty frustrating. It's one thing to give it up to a guy like Billy Hamilton, known Brewer killer, Joey Votto, really good baseball player, Adam Duvall, any of those guys. If they're coming up with the big hit, that is fine. You can live with that. You can't really live with Castillo coming through with a big two-run, one-out single. That's just heartbreaking. I also get why Council intentionally walked the eighth batter, but at the same time, can't you just trust your guy to get an out and get that out happening? Also, why wasn't there a guy ready in the bullpen to potentially take out Drake? That's another question. I guess you expect Drake to handle left-hander. So he had Billy Hamilton, he had Peraza, he had Joey Votto. All those guys were lefties. Scooter Gennett had a double against him. He's a lefty. Drake's job is to get left-handers out. If Drake's not getting left-handers out, then what good is he there for? I think this puts Drake a little bit on a hot seat. Definitely shows, this is a big red flag. You can't have a bullpen guy give up six runs. Brett Suter, while he wasn't great, he had one bad inning, and he gave up three runs. I think you kind of almost expect that out of Brett Suter. He's not your everyday a pitcher. I do think there's a little pressure on Brent Suter with Brandon Woodruff, who's been dazzling and as a Sky Sox pitcher. And I know Suter's a lefty, so there is that element. I do wonder, are you wasting Woodruff as a reliever? Would he be more productive as a guy instead of Drake? I'm not sure. It's definitely a bunch of things to think about. Drake's out of options. So if Drake gets, he's DFA'd, he's done, and he's off the Brewers team. So we'll see what happens with the reaction to Drake's sixth run. I know Council has shown a lack of patience, and that's not a criticism. It's just he hasn't really been patient with this type of shit. He sort of said, okay, if you're struggling, get the fuck out then, as our famous drop says. So we'll see what happens. The Brewers face the Reds tonight. Sal Romano goes for the Reds, who's been sort of a gas can for Cincinnati, especially against the Brewers. Ryan Braun has some really good numbers against Romano. We'll see, a very small sample size. We'll see if Braun comes back to the lineup. It'd be much needed. Christian Yelich would also, it would be great to get some of these guys back. I know the Reds are really bad, and the Reds were basically, this was a perfect medicine for them. The Brewers always seem to struggle against Cincinnati, no matter how good, how bad the Reds are. The Brewers always seem to scuffle. They're now under 500 for the first time this season. I'm not ready to push a panic button. Although if they were to lose tonight when no one's watching, because everyone's going to be on the Bucks, I think I would start to panic a little bit. Even though Junior Guerra is on the mound. Junior Guerra, while was very good, I'm not ready to invest in one start. Romano's really bad. The Brewers should tattoo Romano. There is no reason the Brewers shouldn't have a big game tonight. And I am a little concerned that might not happen. And then have a chance for a split or a chance to win the series on Wednesday afternoon. We'll see if that all happens for the Brewers. All right, real quickly, talk about the NBA last night. So we saw the series split for Miami and Philly. A D-Wade performance for the ages. Gabrielle Union would like to know that not only will she probably lick his butt later, as you know that they're in the butt stuff. If you're not familiar with that story, go to TMZ and check out the fact that she said, guys don't want to admit they like to get their butt eaten. Okay, Gabrielle Union, if that's what you're down with, cool, man. That's your prerogative. I don't mind. But she was like, yeah, I got something for you when you come back. So it's like, okay, cool. You're going to have some sex. And she also pointed out, she's like, this isn't a vintage D-Wade performance. He keeps doing this, which I know you want to say that, and I appreciate being supportive of your husband, but this was a vintage D-Wade performance. We don't see this shit from Dwayne Wade all the time. He, and apparently Kevin Hart is the new Spike Lee, and got him all fired up, and he just started giving buckets because Kevin Hart kept talking shit. So guess what, Kevin Hart? That's what you get for talking shit. And I love it. I love that now we have like a Spike Lee in 2018. That's good. You need more of that. We need to have as many things, as much drama in the NBA as humanly possible. So Kevin Hart being all upset